This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation Universe, we're back, and yeah, it's pretty quick, wasn't it? Just 3 weeks ago we had a pay-per-view, but here we are for TLC, the last pay-per-view of the 2010s for World Wrestling Entertainment. I'm your host, Chris Zoner, joined as always by my co-host on these shows, the Oracle of WWE, Devin Hales. And Devin, yeah, it's hard to believe, the last show of the 2010s, and boy, they went out with a bang, didn't they?
Yeah, man. Bret Hart coming back on Raw doesn't seem that long ago. I mean, it does kind of, but not really 10 years.
Ooh, I know, right?
That's what opened the decade, you know. It doesn't seem that long, but it's been 10 years almost, a few weeks. So, it's crazy to think.
Yeah, it's insane. It's insane. And if you would have told us in 2010 that the main event of the final pay-per-view of the 2010s would be a TLC match for the women's tag titles, I'm sure we were like, you're fucking crazy as hell. But no, here we are. And what a match that was. We'll talk about that later on. But let's begin with the kickoff show. And I'm going to preface this by saying I spent pretty much the entire first half of the show, even most of the middle of the show, preoccupied with other things. I was recording some stuff for Between the Sheets. Had a phone call. So I was watching the show, but it was on mute. So I don't have the full experience of listening to the announcing, which, you know, might not have been a bad thing for some of the announcing on that show, I'm sure. But yeah, so I was able to watch the stuff, though, so I have that. So we're going to get started. There was one match on the kickoff show, Humberto Carrillo against Andrade. These two had a match on Raw last Monday where Humberto won. Kind of an upset in a way, because it's Andrade's first loss on Raw, clean loss. And so they booked the rematch for the kickoff show. These two went out and had a hell of a damn match. Andrade got cut during the match. I missed where it happened, so maybe you can enlighten me on that, when it happened, but he got cut around his left eye. Pretty nasty looking cut. Both men were just, you could see welts coming on their body from the punishment they were taking. Fans chanted, "This is awesome." So, you know, that's great for a kickoff match. And they're Minneapolis too. So, you know, not, you know, different type of crowd for a match like this, but they were into it. And, yeah, Carrillo got the poison Rana, hit a moonsault, got another pinfall winner on Andrade. And then they, you know, they teased it kind of on Monday, a little dissension between him and Zelina, and tonight he brushed her off and left the ring on his own. So, looks like we're heading towards a breakup there. But Humberto got two big wins on Andrade here, and it's something that he needed, I think, because, you know, he didn't get a good win on AJ Styles, but getting these wins on Andrade, I think, it definitely helps him out. And you definitely can see that he's somebody that Paul Heyman really has earmarked for big things. So, your thoughts on the match, Humberto, and the future of Andrade and Zelina?
Yeah, the match was really good. This was one of the better kickoff shows in a long time, actually, probably in 6 or 7 months, it seems. I mean, that might sound like a stretch, but the kickoff shows have always been solid. And for a while there in 2016, 2017, I think we were having great kickoff shows pretty much every month, but that hasn't really been the case. But this time around, this match was excellent. I don't remember exactly when he got the cut on his eye, but I thought it was awesome. Popped me huge the cut was revealed and he was really starting to leak. Humberto hit him with a crazy running drop kick in the corner, right on the busted eye. That ruled. This was really good. They gave him like 15 minutes, which was awesome, and the crowd loved it. They had a hell of a match. Humberto winning again was definitely good. It looks to be that they're going to do some sort of separation or split with Zelina and Andrade, or at least they're going to continue to tease it. I don't know if they're going to go through with it or not. Usually that's what they do when they do things like this. Time will tell. But this was a really good match, and Humberto is definitely one of Heyman's projects. In fact, Raw's been quite good since Heyman took
over. Oh, absolutely. Just definitely the better.
And
show.
He's got plenty of mid-carders, 5, 6, 7 of them that he's pushing and giving wins every week. And then you watch Bruce Pritchard at SmackDown and go, oh my God, this is terrible. But yeah. Bruce sucks. Let's just face it, he stinks. But that's off topic. Well, sort of, but we can maybe talk about that a little bit later. But this was an excellent match, and I'd kind of like to see a third match between the guys. This was really good.
I'm wondering if maybe this is being done maybe to link Andrade and Charlotte together, maybe on air, on camera.
It could be. Yeah.
I mean,
could be.
Charlotte has kind of, been lost in a way, for a while now. She's in this deal with Becky and the Kabuki Warriors, yeah, but still somebody like Charlotte you would think would have a major program or something going on, And I think if putting her and Andrade together could be the thing that gets him, up to another level. It gives her something important to do. I don't know what you would do per se, unless they turn him babyface and feud them with Lana and Rusev, which that would be interesting, wouldn't it? But I don't know, Zelina and Andrade is a great act. They've had a good time together. But maybe it might not be the worst idea to break them up and put her with somebody else too, to, freshen her up and freshen somebody else up, So Heyman's got something going on in his head on this one, so we'll see. We'll see where he goes. I got more faith in him than Bruce on this type of shit, I tell you that. All right. So we begin the show with a SmackDown match. Main show. The ladder match for the SmackDown tag titles as Kofi and Big E defending against the Revival. And from watching the match, it looked like a hell of a match. Lots of crazy spots. There was one time there where Big E, the way he was selling his knee, I thought he really fucked his knee up, come off the ladder. But luckily it was not the case. Because, God, he does not need to get hurt. That's because Xavier Woods is already out for a year. And then Big E getting hurt. That would just leave Kofi by himself. So that would definitely hurt the New Day act. They only have one member of the New Day able to be around and not have at least two. So definitely good that Big E wasn't badly injured. But lots of stuff involving the ladder, as expected. Crazy spots. Revival. This is not the type of match that you would, really expect to see them in, because they're more the technical team, but they did really good here. They hit their spots in this too. Big E got the big ending off the ladder on Dash. Dawson was reaching for the belts. Kofi slammed the belts into his face. He felt the ladder through a table. Kofi grabbed the belts. New Day retained the title. Very, very strong match. So, New Day retained. Kind of not surprised by that. So, your thoughts on the match and anything else going on here in this segment?
Match was awesome. Really brutal. One of the more violent ladder matches recently. I really thought Big E hurt himself 3 or 4 times in the match. I mean, the spot where his leg got caught after I think it was Dash that drop kicked the ladder out from under him. I mean, his leg got caught underneath there, and if it had twisted just wrong in one direction or the other, I mean, he could have been seriously injured. That was a really scary spot. Dash didn't even have time to prepare to take the Big E spear through the ropes. Like, he got thrown up, you know, through the ropes, and then right when he looks up, he's going to the floor. Like, they timed it perfectly, but at the same time, I mean, Dash barely had time to react. There was some crazy, crazy stuff in this. The superplex through the ladder, not the damn thing didn't break. It was a pretty damn brutal match from beginning to end. Great, great match. Probably the match of the night for me. I liked the main event a lot, but that was an unusual match in some ways too. This one was a great match though. I thought it was the match of the night.
Yeah, and again with these teams, not surprising. And to play off of this, the WWE on Fox Twitter account tweeted out something of asking who was the best tag team of this last decade. And I'm going to pose a question to you before I give my choice. Who do you think was the best tag team in WWE in the last 10 years?
Jeez, there's a lot of options. I mean, I think the top three have to be Revival, New Day, and Usos. But I think you kind of have to, everybody's order will probably, you know, be different depending on what your preference is. You know, my number one's probably the Usos, because I do think that they're probably, at least from their body of work, the best tag team in the history of the company. When I say that, I think they almost have to be number one. But you sort of forget about them when they've been gone for the last couple of months. So it's easy to forget about them, but they're my number one. I think Revival is my number two because in a lot of ways they changed tag wrestling, in the WWE and, or at least brought it back. Or really, in a lot of ways, did change it because tag wrestling was never really like that in WWE. The NWA style of tag wrestling was brought in, you know, a little bit throughout the years, but this they really really brought it in with a modern taste to it. And New Day would be my three. I think it'd probably be that order with like Rhodes Brothers and then Roman and Seth, tag team of the Shield. The Bar would probably the Bar would probably be four actually or five. So you know it's you know when you get into there and then Harper Rowan. I mean, there's a lot of really good tag teams this decade. But the Usos would be my number one.
Yeah, I think that they are the number one choices because they were consistent throughout the entire decade as number one tag team. And Bray Wyatt responded to Usos as well, matter-of-factly, on replying to that tweet. So, yeah, tremendous decade for them. And you know, it's interesting to see where they're at right now. They're basically on punishment, you know, which you know they haven't.
Yes,
they haven't done themselves any favors.
Jimmy is becoming a Jeff Hardy light.
Yeah.
In some ways. I hope he gets the help that he needs because he's got to get it together.
Exactly. All right. Let's move on to a match I was really looking forward to on this show. Aleister Black against Buddy Murphy. And yes, these two guys beat the crap out of each other. And Aleister Black's nose got busted up really quick. He already had, he had a jaw injury in this match as well. Like I said, probably broken nose. I mean, these two dudes are just giving it all they got. And they were striking like crazy. Buddy was hitting him with that big knee. I mean, they were going all out. And then Aleister with the black mask got the win. But Jesus, I mean, what a match these two had. The crowd, I don't know what the crowd really thought about this match, but, you know, they popped for the finish at least. That's that. But wow, this delivered in my mind. So what are your thoughts on this?
Excellent match. I thought it was really a nice contrast with their opener. I thought it was a good idea to have this big strike fest, mid-card, tough guy kind of deal going on. And it was really, really good. They gave him tons of time. Made Buddy Murphy look really good in the loss. It's nice to see. Heyman has his flaws. But you know, Heyman had his hands on his Raw matches. And both guys looked excellent. Even though Black won, Buddy looked just as good. And this was an awesome match. Up to this point, this show was looking to be pretty damn good. First three matches were awesome.
Yeah, the thing about these two is you can pretty much believe that there's going to be another, at least one more match when you stood.
Right.
So, and that probably where Buddy gets a win, and then you know we'll get a third where they can have the rubber match. But yeah, I can watch these two guys wrestle each other many times. So. I'll have no problem with that. So, yeah, these two definitely showed out here, and they delivered. So props to them. Props to them for sure. All right, next we got Charlie Caruso interviewing Rusev, who said he was elated that Lana might marry Bobby Lashley because when she gets remarried, he don't have to pay any more alimony. He said it didn't matter what they planned for tonight because Lana will be picking splinters out of Lashley's back. And Rusev said he might be single, but he's never alone because every day is Rusev Day. This angle has been so great, especially lately. That the divorce paper signing angle on Raw Monday night was tremendous. Lana and Rusev, you know, normally when you have your marriage breakup angles in wrestling, normally that doesn't work out in real life. But I think in this one, I think that Lana and Rusev are so invested in this and are basically, I mean, so in love with each other. That's what makes this so great, because you can tell that they're having a blast doing this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There've been a couple of, terrible segments in this feud, but have been, super entertaining, even though they were bad. This is a very, very entertaining feud for sure. I've enjoyed it, but at the same time, I'm kind of ready for it to move on to different things.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that when the match comes. But I think we're going to have something definitely happen more, something else more. I don't think it's going to go in here. Put it that way. All right, Raw Tag Team Title Match. Viking Raiders had an open challenge out there. You need tag team that would take them up on it. So, who did you expect to be the team that answered this challenge?
Oh, I picked the OC. I thought it'd
be there. You go, Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson. The OC accepts the open challenge.
And then I fell asleep. Oh.
They had the trophy saying they were the best team in the world. So of course they're the only team that could beat the Raiders. Now, the thing about this match was there was a table at ringside, because this was a tables match, where there was a group of fans, four fans, eating KFC. Yes, Kentucky Fried Chicken, who was a big sponsor of WWE. And you had to know what was going to happen. I mean, it was just obvious. Well, actually, this wasn't a tables match. I'm sorry. But, they had an interesting match here. I mean, they worked hard. There was the spot where Hansen did his handspring back elbow, where he hit Carl Anderson, but he never hit Gallows, and Gallows took a big bump off of it.
I was so mad at them for that.
Yeah, Gallows was a professional, but he should have done that. But anyway, they went to the floor. We had a count of 10, a double count-off finish, rare in WWE. And then we had the KFC table, where they started brawling with the table, food started getting tossed, which fans booed, and then then Carl Anderson got put through the table, and his ass went right in the mashed potatoes, and the crowd was like, eh. So It's been a while since we had this type of WWE branding with a restaurant that that had something like this happen. But yeah, this was what it was, and this is when the show starts to take the shift.
Yeah, this match wasn't very good. I mean, the match itself wasn't bad. It was fine. It was just, I wasn't looking forward to it. I knew who the guys were going to be to come out, and the OC are like the most boring. I've never been into these guys. I think they're boring. Like with AJ, they're kind of funny, but like by themselves, they're just boring to me. So I was just like, ugh. I got angry when they started ripping, you know, the sides off the table because KFC's chicken sucks. And the only good thing at KFC is the sides. So I got mad about that. But yeah, this just wasn't my thing. I mean, I get it. You know, you promote KFC, blah, 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 whatever. I mean, it didn't really bother me. It was just dumb.
It was dumb. They wasted those good mashed potatoes and gravy. And the macaroni and cheese.
I know. See, that pissed me off. Legitimately, I was yelling at the TV. I was booing with Minneapolis on that one. Yeah, I mean, it was silly. It was silly. Didn't do much for me.
There is a KFC around here whose chicken is pretty good, but more often than not, your KFC chicken is not as good as other restaurants for sure. But there is one right here where I don't know what they do differently, but it tastes okay. Tastes okay, but yeah, the mashed potatoes and gravy, macaroni and cheese, always, you know, always good, no matter what, to me. So, I like their biscuits too. So, yeah, this is wild seeing buckets of chicken at ringside. I thought that was tremendous.
Yes,
involving all white people too. Imagine that. If this would have been years ago, this would have been involved with like the New Day would have been out there for that, you know. I mean, right. God knows. Wrestling has evolved, folks, in 2019. All right, next. The Miz speaks with Kayla, and he says the family's safe. He's moved into an undisclosed location. Oh, my goodness. He called Bray Wyatt a monster, even more so than The Fiend. He said that Wyatt, you know, violated the sanctity of his home, and this is the most important personal match of his life. He wasn't fighting as The Miz tonight, but he was fighting as a man protecting his family. Well, we'll have more on that in just a few minutes. All right. And then we have a TLC match. King Corbin against Roman Reigns in a feud that will not die. Now, I have not watched SmackDown in the last 2 weeks. One, I was at the Action Wrestling Show in lovely Tyrone, Georgia with two members of the Hales family, Papa Hales and Dylan Hales. And then this last Friday, I was just watching other stuff. My main focus was on other things.
Yeah, because SmackDown
as a show, and there's people in there that I like, but that show sucks. It's not good. It just ain't. I mean, you could tell the difference between Raw and SmackDown so much in the creativity of that show between, you know, Paul and what he's doing, and you know where things kind of going. You got direction, you got feuds, you got the fine things, and you got SmackDown where you got a bunch of bullshit. And
Bruce going, wouldn't it be funny if Elias said he would refuse a threesome with Bayley and Sasha Banks? Okay, look, you got to be a goddamn idiot to do that. But have Elias spank drink Maverick in the middle of the boy. It's the worst. It's some unbelievably bad.
And then we have the doll food that the doll food being used, and yes, it was confirmed that it was 100% real doll food because Vince would not use fake doll food. You have to use the real stuff. So. All right, so they said that Corbin had no help because Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler were taken out by Reigns. Well, no. One was taken out because he had PEDs in his system, and Robert Roode. And the other one, well, he was there anyway. So they have their match. I don't care. Dolph shows up, gets involved. Corbin eventually, you know, Corbin hits him with a can of doll food at one point in the match. I just was like, God. They try to dump Dolphin on Roman, and then Roman took him out, and Revival comes out, and they attack Reigns, and Reigns does his big dive, and this match seemed like it was going forever. And it was a TLC match where it didn't feel like a TLC match. And then Corbin gave him the end of the days on a chair to win the match. They are making Roman Reigns look like such a geek here. More than anything else that he's looked like a geek before. It's amazing.
You know, I agree with a lot of people on Twitter. Roman's got to learn to say, that don't work for me, brother. He's got to be like, look, I ain't losing to this guy again. Like, he's got to get, I get he's a company guy, he's loyal, you know. First of all, he's the most giving main eventer in the history of the company. It's not close.
Yeah, even more than Cena.
Constantly. He's got to just be like, look, I'm not doing this. I'm not losing to this fucking geek. Like, I'm not going to lose to this guy. Like, he's got to put his foot down. You know Vince will fucking kowtow to him. He definitely will. Roman has the authority to decide what he does and doesn't want to do. Okay, if Daniel Bryan can decide that he doesn't think it's a good idea for allegedly, based on rumors that he and Bray shouldn't have a match at TLC and that they should build the feud longer, then Roman Reigns sure as hell has the authority to say he didn't want to lose to King Corbin at fucking TLC. So, like, I actually thought the match was good for the most part, and I actually appreciated that they kept these spots tame because, you know, I like the idea of not blowing your load and all the big stuff and then making the main event look less in return. And I appreciated that. And the interference stuff was actually kind of entertaining for most of it. And then I realized Roman was going to lose and, you know, nobody's going to come out and help the apparent leader of the locker room, which was also odd. But this feud's going on and on and on. And it's like, it's weird. I actually liked the dog food angle a couple of weeks ago. Because I think it was like a true heel thing, got good heat, made me kind of want to see the match. And then he fucking loses. And it's like, I don't know. It's not over. I know that, but it's like, I get it. We have 6 weeks to the Rumble. There's 2 weeks of holiday TV. You know, you got to do something, right? So, I mean, it's just, I don't know. This stunk. The finish just pissed me off. I was like, come on. somebody needs to get in Roman's head. Some old timer who made a lot of money needs to get in Roman's head and tell Vince to shut the fuck up and start letting him win big matches.
The thing on this is I like Corbin. I think Corbin does.
Oh, I do too. I think he's a good worker. I think he's a good heel. I think he's boring. Like, just his presence. But I think he's in a vacuum.
Here's the thing. The thing with Corbin is, think that he is not a main event act. He's good as a mid-card act. That's the thing.
Yes.
That's the thing. And he's being pushed down everybody's throats. He's being made the lead heel on SmackDown. You know, he's beating Roman Reigns. That's the thing where it comes down to and everything on this thing. He's being pushed way too hard. And we saw this with, and you'd think they would have learned this lesson with Seth Rollins. You know, when he's feuding with Rollins, and it was pushing everybody's throat, and fans got tired of it. I mean, I like Corbin, but, I mean, it just ain't working. It's like, like Randy Jackson said, American Idol, ain't working, dog. It just ain't working. It just is not working. He has a position. He's a valuable guy, but it's not as a main event heel. I'm sorry. He's just not. It's not working.
No, he isn't.
So, who knows where we go from here, but, this is just a lot of shit. And, again, it's not making me want to watch SmackDown, even though there's people in there that I like. But it's not making me want to watch SmackDown. That's for damn sure. And that Matt match went, all right, can you guess how long that match was? Because I had the official time here.
I don't know.
You're close. 22:13. 22-13. All right. So, next, we have another SmackDown Classic. Universal Champion Bray Wyatt. Yes, Bray Wyatt, not The Fiend, versus The Miz. Non-title match. So, Miz comes out, you know, and he's doing it. He's in there looking pissed. And then the Firefly Funhouse music comes on. And, yes, we get Bray Wyatt, not The Fiend, which I like that. I thought they should have been doing this from the jump, where Bray Wyatt should wrestle matches as Bray Wyatt, not wrestle every match as The Fiend. That's the thing, you know, you just have him work every time as The Fiend, it makes The Fiend not as special. So, he comes out there as Bray Wyatt, and he's all happy and waving to the crowd, and the fans love it. I mean, they're chanting Yowie Wowie, and they're all cheering, and this, that, and the other, and he's the heel. He's a psychotic heel. And Miz comes in here, and God bless Miz. Miz works as a tough guy, but it just wasn't working. The crowd was just not into this at all. Miz was being on Bray. I do think that they should have had Bray at more like Bray in the beatdown, like apologizing and begging off and stuff like that. But they didn't do it, and eventually he got more aggressive as it went along, and it's interesting to watch what happened, because Wyatt had like a shoulder issue where people thought he might have dislocated. I'm not sure if he did or not, but he ran it against the rail for a couple times. Then he comes back and he hits Sister Abigail off the barricade. Miz barely beat 10 count, got in the ring, and hits Sister Abigail again for the pinfall win, clean as a fucking sheet. So, oh well. Miz came off like a complete goof in this match. Crowd was dead. Then The Fiend showed up on the screen and telling Bray let him in. So Wyatt went out and got his own version of Sledge-O-Matic, the old Gallagher sledgehammer, and was going to use it on The Miz. Then the lights went out. I thought I was watching AEW at this point in time. And then the lights come back on, and there was no Miz, but there was somebody in a burgundy hooded sweater who gave Wyatt the running knee, and it was Daniel Bryan, who, yes, if we last saw him, got hair pulled out of him. Well, he showed up with a short haircut and a fairly clean-shaven face. How he looked 10 years ago, basically. At the beginning of the decade, as the crowd chanted yes, as Bryan continued to take him out, Bryan grabbed the mallet and was about to kill Bray Wyatt, and the lights went out again, and Wyatt disappeared. Then Bryan looked kind of confused, stared at the title belt, left. So at least the post-match was good, but man, this match here, oof, I don't know. I like the premise of the Bray Wyatt deal, worse than Bray Wyatt, but not good.
Yeah, I like the premise too. Execution was just bad. The match sucked. It was terrible. The spot with the shoulder, I think, was just a gimmick type of deal to show like how crazy Bray was. Like, because of the arm shoulder out of socket spot with Biz, and then he like runs outside, and like that did legitimately freak out some fans in the front row.
Yes, it did. And those kids definitely were sitting around there.
But yeah, this was you know, it was bad. I think the idea was that we were supposed to be like watching Bray Wyatt transform into the Fiend over the course of the match and post match. Like, we were supposed to be like visually seeing it. I think that was the idea, but it was just like so boring and lifeless and uninteresting to watch in person. And like, it's a better idea in theory than it is in execution. But I did enjoy the Bryan return. Bryan pretty much looks like he did 10 years ago. Some people think he looks younger with the clean shave. He does. I kind of think he shows his age a little bit now. There's the wrinkles and the looks kind of more like the wear and tear of that business and years of depression, honestly, on his face to me. That's what it looked like to me, but that's a weird topic in general. But Yeah, but I think it's good for Brian to have that character change, and
I think Brian's more of a badass in that look too.
Yes, 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 I agree. Yep, I think so too. So, you know, Brian was able to have a decent match with The Fiend at Survivor Series, so I'm sure he'll be able to have another at least decent match with him again. Probably at the Rumble, I would guess. But as far as the match and stuff goes, it sucked. But Brian coming back was a nice touch, at least.
Yeah, and we'll be going with Brian and Bray now, which, you know, was the program anyway, so we'll see. We'll see how that moves along. But, yeah. So, it seemed like, you know, did all this is just like really a placeholder for Miz? I mean, this is just like this one little match for Miz and Bray? I mean, I don't know. I mean, it just seems weird to do that type of angle and only do one little thing.
I kind of think the rumors might be true, depending on, based on what happened. You know, the rumors were that Brian didn't want to have the match DLC. They wanted to have the rematch too early. So they just said, all right, fuck it, we'll just put Miz in here. I honestly think that's what it was.
Probably so.
Brian was like, nope, because Brian writes his own storylines.
Yeah. You
know? So he was like, no, I don't want to do that. Let's build it to Rumble. And they're like, ah, fuck it, we'll put Miz in. So I think that's what it was.
Yeah. All right, next we get Rusev and Lashley in a tables match. And like I said, they've been very entertaining in their skits. Now they wrestle a match. I missed the skits. This match was way too fucking long. And it wasn't that long.
Yes, it was.
It went 13 minutes, but it seems like it went an hour. Wow, what a long match, and the fans were just losing interest. It was just boring. Rusev got suplexed to a table after one didn't break, which that happened a few times on this show with tables. But man, I mean, this is we had three matches where babyface have lost in a row, and it just wasn't good. You had that, you know, like you said, you've had these entertaining angles and stuff going on, and these two just went out and shit the bed. Just that simple. I mean, I think if we had a straight match, it'd been a whole lot better. But no, we have to do these fucking gimmick matches because we're tied into these gimmick shows. And here we go. So,
yeah, tables matches always suck. I actually did like that one tables match several years ago. With Seth and Cena, where they did the official replay.
Oh yes.
And I think Roman came back and helped Cena win at the end or whatever. But the first half was really dull. I actually liked the second half of the match. I thought it got pretty good, but like the first half was so shitty that like you didn't really care. Like you said, kind of realized, oh, like this match is kind of getting kind of physical and kind of good, and then it ended. I do have to give them props that the first table not breaking, they realized, oh, there's another one we can break right here. So it looks like it's seamlessly transitioned into just going through the other one. Rusev's back was basically scarred with cane shots, so that actually looked pretty brutal. But otherwise, yeah, this was another stinker. If they just had the last 5 minutes of the match, I actually think people would have thought it was really good, but. Now, the first 8 or 9 minutes were just plotting BS that nobody enjoyed. And, so this is another blah match on this show.
Yep. So by now, the show has just really fallen off the rails in a way. We got a Street Profits deal where they're talking backstage. No weekend update for them this time. And then we have just a brawl going on with Bushfield Fight. And the Street Profits get involved, and yeah, that gets talked about more as the main event went along, and of course, we'll have the end of the show, but there you go. They also announced that Randy Orton and AJ Styles will be wrestling on Raw Monday. I wish they would have wrestled tonight. So there's that. Alright, main event, tables, ladders, chairs for the Women's Tag Team Championships as Kabuki Warriors, or as Jerry Lawler would call them during the show, Kabuki Warrior 1 and Kabuki Warrior 2. Because he can't tell them apart because they're both Japanese. They look alike.
Oh, my
God. Against Raw Women's Champion Becky Lynch and Charlotte. in a match that went 25 minutes and 54 seconds. This was wild. These women have had handicap matches on two straight Raws where Becky and Charlotte faced them. And they were two of the better handicap matches you'll ever see in your life. I mean, usually handicap matches suck. But the Kabuki Warriors, and I'm going to say this right now, the Kabuki Warriors since their heel turn has probably been the best thing going into WWE. Hands down, in my opinion, on the main roster. They've been tremendous. Asuka and Kairi have really found themselves doing this act. They're so charismatic. They're so into their act. They're violent. They're chaotic. And you throw in Becky and Charlotte, this type of match, and my God, we got all kind of shit going on here. These women hardly even were in the ring. They were just battling out on the floor. There was a moment where Kairi was chucking chairs to the ring and one bounced off the ropes and hit her right in the face. She kept going. The crowd, I don't know, the crowd didn't know what to think of this because there was a lot of sloppiness in this match, but you know what? It added to it. This match, and it's funny because it's Paul Heyman's booking, but this match to me felt like one of those big ECW arena main events. One of those big ECW main event spectacles. And these women went out and just, there was blowing spots. We had weapons. I mean, we had Becky being tied to a ladder with a rope. Like she was on the railroad tracks. I mean, we had Charlotte basically killing Kairi Sane with a powerbomb, where Kairi was fighting her heart out from getting powerbombed, or Charlotte couldn't pick her up, or whatever. And Charlotte just dropped around on her head, which may have concussed her. And as we're recording this, she was being medically evaluated. And she's had concussion problems. So, yeah, this was pretty tough. But, hey, she bounced up and got back and did stuff in the ring afterwards. So she's tough as hell. And then Asuka powerbombing Charlotte off the top rope through a table, which they got the wrong angle of on the camera. Fuck you, Kevin Dunn. And Charlotte didn't fold up her body on the bump off. She landed flat. She laid out and hit her head right on the floor. So she probably got concussed too. So that left Becky and Asuka in the ring. And we got a payoff on the rope, as the rope was still tied to the ladder. Becky was climbing the ladder. Asuka yanked the rope, which turned the ladder over, and Becky hit the ropes. Then Asuka got in the ring, climbed the ladder up, grabbed the titles down. Kabuki Warriors retained the titles, as they should have. I don't know how to properly judge this match, but I was entertained throughout the entire thing. And these women, God bless them, they worked their asses off, and they deserve a bonus, I think. But wow, what a wild and crazy match to end this show.
You nailed it on the head. It's just exactly what it was. It was an ECW RVD Sabu versus fucking the Eliminators.
Sandman Dreamer, like, Raven. I mean,
like,
yeah.
This was like a complete, total, utter mess and a disaster in a lot of ways. But there was plenty of awesome stuff in it, plenty of like sloppiness that was believable, and like you could like it kind of makes things better, even if it makes it worse, it makes it better at the same time. Like it was total, utter, complete mess, but you couldn't look away because it was so entertaining and so engrossing. I actually think Kairi got concussed on the exploder suplex into the barricade.
Could have.
Because if you remember, Charlotte goes for the spear. It looked like she was setting up for that spear. Kairi just comes almost stumbling to her instead of letting her.
That's the Charlotte one, right?
And she sort of falls. And Charlotte just gets pissed, slaps her face, yells, "Fuck this," and then picks her up and to powerbomb her. And it looked like Kairi was sandbagging her. I don't really think that was the case. I think Kairi didn't know where she was.
Could have.
And Charlotte was just deadlifting, powerbombing her on her head through a table, which probably wasn't the best decision. But she got back up, because if you look over when Asuka goes over to her to get her up to bring the ladder in the ring, Kairi and Asuka are talking to each other, and Kyrie's probably like, "Where the fuck am I?" Or you know, or "I got my bell rung. I'm hurt." And they come back in the ring, and Charlotte and, you know, they set the ladder up, and then Charlotte and Becky get back up, and they clear the ring with chairs. Kyrie's like running like a scolded dog, like ducking from these chair shots because I think she knows she's hurt. I think she was aware enough.
Yeah, the chair shots were awkward as shit.
Where she was. But she got out of there, and she was out of the match after that. I think there might have been one little spot where she may have been, you know, like gently put into the stairs or something, I think. But she was definitely hurt. And then, like you said, Charlotte probably hurt herself when she took the bump so poorly through the table. This was an insane match, though, and a very entertaining one. And I couldn't look away, and I enjoyed it. I don't know how to rate this match. I don't know what to call it, but I enjoyed it. And the 25 minutes flew by, and I had a fun time watching it. So that's probably a positive thing, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these women, like I said, they went out and they gave it their all, and they deserve everything that they get. I mean, they should get. That's the extra money for going out there and putting on this performance.
Felt like a real
fight, I mean, and,
for the most part. And I also liked that they were wanting to hurt each other because the story sort of asked for that in the build. But at the same time, they were doing things so that they could get to the ladder in the ring and climb it. It wasn't just to do stuff. You know what I mean? Like, there was a little bit of that, but that made sense. But it wasn't so excessive. There weren't too many contrived setups. Like even in Revival New Day, which I did think was match of the night, they had the contrived setup with the ladder bridge that took too long and actually took away from the match for a couple of minutes.
Yeah,
they didn't really have that in this match. There was action all the time, which is what I think people should really strive for in a ladder match.
Absolutely, absolutely. So that's a wild match, and in the ending, Asuka grabs the belts, and we get this. You know, celebrate 5 seconds for. Here comes the whole roster out for a brawl in the crowd area, leaning where Roman Reigns speared King Corbin off the deck into the mass of guys, and everybody just laid out. I mean, I'm guessing this has to be a setup for the Royal Rumble, but I don't know.
It's either two things. It's either a setup for the Royal Rumble or a Santa little helpers, you know, lumberjack match on SmackDown or something.
But the Raw guys were involved too, though. I mean,
that's true. But yeah, this was a setup for the Rumble. This was Vince going,
supposed to talk is that Roman is going to win the Rumble. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you're going to do that, then you're going to make him come out strong, at least strong at the end of this. But wow,
I think we're going to have Roman win that sucker. I think Rumble looks to be Fiend Bryan, and I think we'll have Becky Asuka 1-on-1 for the Raw Women's title. I think they're building to Becky not being able to beat Asuka. I think that's a storyline they're doing. That's a storyline they've been doing the last month. I think they're going to have a rematch from a year ago, almost exactly, at Rumble this year. So I think those are some things we can look ahead to.
They might not want to have Charlotte and Kyrie wrestle each other after the 9.
No. Not quite.
But anyway, that was TLC. So, final thoughts here. Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to give it a thumbs down. I mean, it wasn't even an awful show, but the middle portion of the show was so poor, and the booking and the realization that things are going to continue with Roman and Corbin and stuff like that was so poor that I think I have to give it a thumbs down. It's not a massive thumbs down, but it's a solid thumbs down. There was too many frustrating results for me to give it a thumbs in the middle, much less a thumbs up.
Yeah. I'm going to go thumbs down as well. It's just, that was just the middle of that show was so boring. And just so, most of the SmackDown stuff, pretty much all the SmackDown stuff on the New Day Revival is like, ugh. And Rusev and Lashley just was a disappointment considering, you know, all the stuff they had been doing to build up to this match, and the match just totally shit the bed. So, I can, my heart of hearts, give this a thumbs up. But watch the first matches and watch the main event, just to watch the main event, because you have to see it. It's great. But, yeah, skip that middle. Oh, God. Skip the middle. So, yeah, well, at least we don't have another show until Royal Rumble, and Royal Rumble is always a fun show because it's the Royal Rumble. And we have two
Rumbles. And finally, this year, the Royal Rumble does not land on the NFL AFC NFC Championship weekend. So it's on Who Gives a Fuck?
Yes.
For us football fans, it won't affect that.
Yes. And it's going to be in Houston and Minute Maid Park. So that should be a very cool setting. I love that they're now picking baseball stadiums for Royal Rumble. That's cool. So yeah, that should be fun. So at least we'll have that to look forward to. But other than that, Devin, I want to thank you for doing these shows with me throughout the past few years here. And I want to wish you and yours a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
You too, my friend. Happy holidays.
And all you listeners out there listening to us, likewise. You guys take care, and we'll see you in 2020. So for Devin, this is Chris, saying so long from the Peach State of Georgia.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place of Nations, JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceofNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place of Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation Pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content, offering tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceofNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceofNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. And we want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceofNation.com, the only place to be in your pop.